You know, I just saw that panel that Eric the Tech had made for me, The Dogfather. What a great, absolutely. I'll take that title anytime. Doug Hagman, The Dogfather. This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, December 12th, 2024. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. Look, I am an investigator. I've been one all my adult life, basically. Well, you know, pretty much. For at least for the past 30, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. And this is what I do. My wife says you do like three things really well. Okay. Being an investigator is one of them. I'll just drop it right there. But anyway, having said that, this is going to be all about unanswered questions. We have to demand answers for questions that need to be answered. We have to demand accountability. We have to demand, as Americans, we have to get answers to long-standing questions. And I'm talking about going all the way back, all the way back, all the way. Did you get that? All the way back to Kennedy. I'd go back to Lincoln too, but I'd lose a lot of people. But look, we need answers, and we need them, and we need not only answers for the exposure, but we need justice. Justice delayed is justice denied. Justice deprived is no justice at all, and by itself, an injustice that must be corrected. All right, I have a lot to get into tonight. I mean, look, folks, this is going to be a deep, deep, deep dive, okay? I am going, again, I don't like programs, shows that just touch on things. Again, that inch deep, mile wide kind of thing. No, I don't like that. I want to find out. I want to take a subject and like a dog with a bone, just gnaw on that puppy until I have answers. And that's really something important. By the way, Randy Taylor, he's recovering nicely. When I say nicely, it's going to be a kind of a little bit of a road there. I don't know if he can come back before Christmas, but he'll be back. But Randy Taylor checking in with me today, and of course he's active on his social media, X, Randy underscore Taylor, or Randy Taylor underscore USA dot on X. I'm sorry about that. All right, before I get into the program, taking care of a little bit of business, thank you very much for the support. Every last one of you, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. But also, some of the people that do sponsor us on a corporate level, including staywarmnow.com. But hey, folks, get ready. This winter, it's already like baring its ugly teeth. Experts say us homeowners, people in apartments, you can expect your double digit increases in your heating bills. Prices for home heating, they're expected to rise as high as 10.5%. This adds unnecessary stress for homeowners who are already struggling to make ends meet, like you and I. This is why I use that mini heater that you see on your screen in my house, studio, office. I absolutely love how quickly it makes my area very toasty warm without raising my heating bills. This portable mini heater makes nearly any room warm and cozy in no time. It's compact but strong enough to warm up places like my bedroom or my office in a heartbeat. Really, it's I'm amazed at how quickly the warmth does come out. I mean, it's great. It includes a built-in overheat protection device, if you will, and adjustable heat levels from gentle warmth to toasty comfort. Do yourself a favor. Grab one of these up to 60% off this holiday season only at staywarmnow.com. Just like it sounds, staywarmnow.com. Plus, order today and you'll get free expedited shipping, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and several other free bonuses. Once again, that's staywarmnow.com. Give the gift of warmth this holiday season, and I appreciate them for sponsoring in part this program. And by the way, they that's going to be the last time I mention it for Christmas. I really think if you have somebody you buy for, they're hard to buy for, that's a great gift. Staywarmnow.com. All right. Let's start off. Look, folks, we have to have long memories. All right. Unfortunately, 90%, 95% of the population don't have long memories. And we have to put aside any ADD, ADHD. Just put that aside. We have to remember things. We have to remember names, places, dates, events. We have to really understand what's been going on in order to understand what's going on today. One of the things that is really starting to hack me off, man, I mean, I am getting angry. I sent out an X post, or a post on X, and pardon the use of the P word here. I said something effective. This drone thing is really starting to piss me off. I don't know how many people out there feel the same way, but it's really starting to make me angry, or I'm getting angry about this drone situation. I don't know about you, but I want friggin' answers. You know, you have to ask yourself, what's going on in the skies above New Jersey and other states along the eastern seaboard? Reports of dozens of, I mean, even upwards of 50 at a time, giant drones buzzing through the air. They've got people on the ground upset, worried, concerned, and politicians, you know, who claim that they don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. Nobody told me. That's not good enough. You work for us, you find out the answers. Especially if
these are little drones.
No,
they're big.
No. Yeah, damn right they're big. What'd they say? One visual the size of a two-car garage, another the size of an SUV, another the size of a car, another with a 6-foot wingspan. I mean, so they're not, you know, the old Radio Shack drones that you would get at Best Buy. All right. These are meaningful.
I don't think Radio Shack got the chance to sell drones.
Actually, don't ask me how I know this, but there are a couple of Radio Shacks left, usually in smaller towns. And I saw a picture on social media where they were selling cassette recorders and, believe it or not, drones. Eric, the tech. You want me to take you there and we can go shopping?
I'll have
Christmas
to get
shopping?
You a gift card to Radio Shack.
Oh, I'm going to have to find out where that is. No, actually, give me a year's membership to Blockbuster. That would be better, too. but you know, look, the politicians behind, you know, when they come out and say, I don't know. They might be telling the truth. Maybe they weren't read in. But here's the thing. Somebody knows who they belong to. Somebody knows everything about these drones. Somebody knows. I saw a tweet or a X post where, you know, and Owen Schroyer was talking about this. You shoot one down, if that's possible, if you have a good hunting rifle, I don't know, 308 or a Creedmoor, you know, Eric's favorite weapon, I think. But, you know, if you can put one like right in the heart of the thing, I don't know, maybe you can drop it. And yesterday, somebody had posted something about, well, what would be the consequences of dropping that in a populated area? My question is, what are the consequences of not dropping one of those pups?
Somebody really wealthy needs to do that. Somebody that can post their bond, because that's all that will happen. And then we'll find out who the drones are.
You're damn right. The knock on the door by the, you know, by the FBI, by the, what, FAA, the NRA, the CIA, the PBA, or I don't know. I'm sure.
So calling all the rich rednecks.
There you go.
Take one down.
Yeah, take one down. I don't give a crap where it is. Because people say, well, maybe they have payloads. Maybe it's a, it, it's a, there's chemical or bioweapons or munitions, well, shoot the friggin' thing down. We'll find out. If they've got those weapons, certainly they're just, I mean, there's a threat up there. Is there not? Well, it's interesting because everyone's saying, well, we don't know what they are, but don't worry, there's no threat to them, or there's no threat. Well, how do you know? I hate it when people say that. Chad, am I wrong on this?
Well, process of elimination.
Yes.
If it was Walmart's or Amazon's drones, we would know because they'd make an announcement.
Right.
So who's that leave?
Black Ops. Well, okay. I wrote some notes here. So, obviously, no one at the White House knows anything. We saw Karine Jean-Pierre, that lesbianic corn-rolled hair, you know, binder-carrying babe, right, saying, well, you know, hey, look, we're monitoring the situation. Well, just like you did with the flipping Chinese spy balloon, right? Hang on with that for a second. But no one seems, and in the leftist Biden regime, no one appears to know why the drones have invaded our airspace. That's their story. They're sticking to that. They don't know whether Iran has a mothership. No, I'm getting to this. Chat, don't take me to task yet. They don't know whether Iran has a mothership in the Atlantic or whether the drones over the skies of New Jersey and elsewhere, I might add, are a threat or merely a nuisance, or equally bad, I might add, a distraction. All right? Regardless of who is responsible, it could be China. If it's from a threat country, an adversarial country or entity, regardless of who is responsible, be it China, Iran, cartels of Mexico, or any adversarial entity or country, now they know how easy it is to breach our airspace without molestation. Of course, they would have known that with a Chinese spy balloon in February of 2023, from January 28th to February 4th of 2023. They would have known that. But what does this say, if that's their story and they're sticking to it, what does this say about our trillion-dollar defense budget? The Air Force, the Navy, the National Guard, the Coast Guard, the Guard of DHS, FBI, FAA, any agency that's in charge of safety, the law enforcement. What does that say about them? They are failing miserably. And they'll continue to fail. Unless, of course, they're going after parents, going after school boards, and arresting grandmas and grandpas and parents you know, people they don't care for because they're stepping on their agenda. Then they'll go whole hog, right? Or abortion clinics, people praying in abortion clinics, or J6ers. Got some stuff on that. Again, remember that Chinese spy balloon. I remember driving. I was driving out of state, and East Palestine just happened, and I had to drive through that, whatever that blob of gunk was. And at the same time, it was the Chinese spy balloon was making headlines. That balloon, and let me remind everyone, this happened between January 28th through and including February 4th of 2023. It was a high altitude balloon. There it is on the screen. High altitude balloon originating from China, flew across North America, our airspace. It invaded our airspace, including Alaska, the islands up there as well. Western Canada came down into the contiguous U.S. On February 4th, the U.S. Air Force shot down the balloon over U.S. territorial waters off the coast of South Carolina. How do I know? Because I was in South Carolina when that happened, or just before that happened. Debris from the wreckage, they were recovered, sent to the FBI laboratory. And what do you know? Hey, really, roughly the size of the equivalent of two railroad cars of spy equipment on this balloon. What was Biden doing? I don't know. He was drooling into a cup, eating oatmeal, watching reruns of the Golden Girls, and probably walking in friggin' circles. What was Alejandro Mayorkas doing? Maybe giving China directions. What was our military doing with the Chinese spy balloon? Have we gotten the answers from that Chinese spy balloon? Some will say, oh yeah, case closed. It never transmitted any information to China. My ass, it didn't. It completed its mission and was allowed to complete its mission until it was shot down. That's the government that we have in office right now. And you expect them to come clean on drones when they couldn't handle a spy balloon that they knew was coming? They had advance warning. That was Chinese. So don't tell me that our airspace cannot be invaded by a foreign country. On the other hand, these drones, they come in at night. They have the lights, the operational lights on them, as any aircraft would. If you were a surveillance drone, would you have FAA compliant lighting? I kind of doubt it. Just asking. If nothing else, the drones above New Jersey, in particular, President Trump's residents, overpopulated areas, over two, at least two military installations. It, if nothing else, because of the response, not because of the event, but the response to the event, public, to the American public, and really to the world, it does prove how easy it is to invade America's airspace. It doesn't have to be through land borders. It can be through the sky. And you have to ask yourself, too, how easy would it be to arm a drone or to arm it with poison or bomb civilians from a drone? It's not that hard. Years ago, I said, look, we have armed drones that were flying over our country. We must be mindful, and I mean this, to the fact that our enemies apparently have the means. I'm not talking about these, but our enemies have the means to attack us by the most rudimentary and relatively inexpensive means. Again, consider the spy balloon. Yes, a very simple concept. But that was a surveillance bonanza for the communist Chinese. What about these? What about the drones? Look, if we do nothing to stop our enemies from violating our airspace, I'm not saying these are enemies. I'm saying that we have to have affirmative answers from our government saying, hey, look, these are operations. We are preparing for X, Y, or Z. You don't have to spill the beans on whatever project you're conducting, but you better say something or you look weak in the eyes of the world. You better friggin' say something. It's interesting because, again, that lesbianic press secretary keeps pretending that who keeps pretending that she speaks for Biden when Biden can't speak and doesn't speak and doesn't even know what planet he's on. He's probably the least likely informed of all of this. But Pierre is saying that the White House is looking into the story, but treats the issue as really like a non-issue. Hey, it's no big deal. No big deal. What's that all about? She offers no details. She speaks in generalities. She repeats herself without saying anything of substance. She is really the perfect spokesman, come to think about it, for this brain-dead regime. You got cackles, McKnee pads, and brain-dead Biden. Okay. We have this. Did you see this? I'm sure most people have, but we need to address this anyway. Congressman Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey, he says that the nation of Iran launched a mothership off the east coast of the U.S. And then Iran brought the drones in from, bought the drones and then brought, bought them from China and then brought them in on this mothership. That's what he says. Well, if you know that much, you've got to pretty much know where this mothership is. And if I were in charge, where that mothership is, it would be a steaming pile of debris in the Atlantic.
Beam me up.
Before or after I put a a missile right down the middle of that ship, beam you up, right? I don't know. Look, if that is even remotely true, and the DOD now says it is not, but wait, look, what if it is true? If it is true, the purpose of what's going on right now would be to send a message telling the U.S. that, no, showing the U.S., not telling us, but showing us that America, nowhere, hey, you're not safe here. The message itself is unambiguous. That message of you're not safe. If it was a foreign power, foreign entity, or truly an unknown by Arab. Again, all of these are different scenarios. But none speak well for the U.S. on the world stage. And most assuredly, none speak well to the American people. This is why I'm pissed off. And quite frankly, if you're not, then I don't know why, but you should be angry at this tepid, really lack of response by the federal government or lack of explanation to us. We pay taxes. We pay the salaries of these numbnuts out there protecting this country, and they have a right to inform us. Just as much as if I see one of those suckers over my house, I will do everything in my power by any means necessary to bring that sucker down. And I don't give a damn if it's in the middle of my street, in my backyard, or at the local Walmart. That son of a, it's coming down. And then we'll find out who in the hell owns it. By the way, Eric the Tech, you can broadcast me from the local cell or from the, I don't know, the dungeon down at the gulag down at D.C.
But the chat will post your bond.
Thank you. Thank you. But here's Jeff Van Drew. Look, this guy is either lying or being lied to, believing what he's told. I mean, I don't know what's up with this guy. You decide. This is cut. This. Let me find the. Do you know which one this is, Eric?
Uno.
Uno. We'll do Uno. Here it is.
In focus now, Republican Congressman Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey, member of the House Judiciary Committee on the Hill right now. How do you address this at this point?
Well, here's the real deal, Harris. You know, I'm also on the Transportation Committee, on the Aviation Subcommittee, and I've gotten to know people. And from very high sources, very qualified sources, very responsible sources, I'm going to tell you the real deal. Iran launched a mothership probably about a month ago that contains these drones. That mothership is off. I'm going to tell you the deal. It's off the east coast of the United States of America. They've launched drones, is everything that we can see or hear. And again, these are from high sources. I don't say this lightly. Now, you know, we know there was a probability it could have been our own government. We know it's not our own government because they would have let us know. It could have been some really glorified hobbyist or hobbyist that were doing something unbelievable. They don't have the technology. But let's pretend that's possible. The third possibility.
Eric, can you stop that for a second? Do you think for a second, Eric the Tech, do you think for a second it's some hobbyist? Okay. Are you out of your friggin' mind? Seriously, I'd like to have that.
Hobbyists can't afford these drones.
And look, this guy is speaking with such certainty. Maybe he's right. Is he right? Or does he believe he's right because he heard it from, I don't know, some high-ranking official? The guy's on national TV saying, this is what I was told. There's a mothership out there in the Atlantic.
It's not the U.S.'s because we would know about it.
Yes, of course we would. They wouldn't lie to me. Yeah. There's nothing truthful about any of this crap. No one's telling the friggin' truth. And he probably believes the lies he's being told. Or maybe he's being told the truth.
You're a pawn, Jeffrey.
Do you believe there's a mothership out there, Eric the Tech? I'm asking
yes,
you, Eric.
Yes, but not this one.
Yeah, but not that one. Not the one he's talking about. I love that. That's a good answer. We'll let him finish because I don't know why, but we'll let him finish. Go ahead.
An adversarial country doing this. Know that Iran made a deal with China to purchase drones, motherships, and technology in order to go forward. The sources I have are good. They can't reveal who they are because they are speaking to me in confidentiality. These drones should be shot down. Whether it was some crazy hobbyist that we can't imagine or whether it is Iran, and I think it very possibly could be, they should be shot down. We are not getting the full deal, and the military is on alert with this.
Look, you've given us some pretty dire information just here, and I want to make sure that our viewers are digesting this. Iran has the capability to pull up along our eastern seaboard and launch drones the size of an SUV into the skies of several states, particularly New Jersey, where we know the incoming president has a large home. Also in the same county or nearby where some of these drones in New Jersey have been seen.
Eric, Tech, you buying this crap? People at Chester's, you buying this crap? You know,
why have we not shot them down?
For the same reason we didn't shoot them.
We use drones.
Yes. Yes, we do.
It is dangerous technology. In my opinion, drones should not be allowed.
Says the person who operated a drone during the course of a couple of investigations that we have personally conducted.
And for most drones, you need clearance.
Yes, you
fly do. Fly zone clearance. So how do we not know?
A hobbyist, by the way, a hobbyist took a drone. The footage is available on social media. Took a drone, flew it into Area 51 airspace. And that thing lasted probably, 9 seconds. And it was blown out of the friggin' sky.
I've gotten reports that people with private drones in that area cannot send theirs up.
I have that weird battery, things that happen to the battery on the drones, restricted space because of the closeness to a military installation. So I've gotten a lot of reports like you have. So with this guy, and most of the neocons, they want war with Iran so friggin' bad. We have to feed the military-industrial complex, and we got a war with Iran. We got to go to war with Iran. Can you feel it now? Come on. Amen, brothers. Can I get an amen? We got to blow the hell out of Iran. Can I get an amen? No. Huh. Why not? I'm going to show you guys something. You know what, Eric the Tech? I don't think I put this in the show notes.
If Trump was in office right now.
Yeah, we'd know.
What would he do about this?
Not this. Whatever this is, not nothing. He certainly would come out of it. You know, he certainly would be... He would do the opposite of what Biden, Joe Biden is doing. He would come out and talk to the American public and say, look, I know you guys are really freaked out about this crap. And then offer a legitimate explanation, I believe. Or if it's a hostile entity, give the word, wouldn't he? You're gone.
I think he'd know within 24 hours.
Yeah. I do as well. I certainly do as well. Eric the Tech, I didn't send you this. In looking, in researching this drone, everyone talks about really the USS Liberty, right? Everyone talks about that. And Eric the Tech in my bookmarks at X, you could probably get to this before I can, unless you want me to send you the link. Folks, I don't know whether you saw this. Again, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Jew. I'm anti-liar. I'm anti-globalist. I'm anti-warmonger. I'm anti-corruption. I am all for the Constitution. I'm all for the God of Abraham. I'm all for the Bible. But I don't want to get hosed. In my bookmarks is Candace Owens. Can you grab it, or you want me to send it to you?
Eric. I got it.
Okay. This video. Look, I knew this. I got four or five books that describe this in detail. But for some reason, this video does what the books did not or cannot. I'll take you back to 1967. Again, you might not like Candace Owens for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. Doesn't change the facts. Tiny Tim, well, he's dead now, but whoever could be reading this, it doesn't matter. These are the facts. Watch this. This is about 4 minutes, but it's 4 minutes of your life you're going to want to hear. Whenever you're ready, sir.
All right, you guys, I'll get right into this. A couple of weeks ago, I received a letter that changed my life, certainly changed the course of my life in politics. And I'm going to read you that letter now and let you know that the author of it is sitting across from me. It reads, "My name is Philip Turney. I am 77 years old today. On June 8th, 1967, I was just 20 years old when the gallant crew of the USS Liberty was savagely attacked. Our American flag was proudly flying on our ship in the Mediterranean Sea that day. The designation AGTR-5 was clearly painted on the bow, port, and starboard sides. USS Liberty was written in English on her stern. When we arrived on June 7th, we were overflown by Israeli reconnaissance aircraft, and the same activity was repeated on the morning of June 8th. We were positively identified as American and friendly by the IDF. We had requested a destroyer escort long before we entered the Mediterranean, but we were denied twice. Our captain assured us that we were clearly marked as American, and we therefore had nothing to fear. We were alone, 12 and a half miles off the coast of the Sinai Peninsula, always in international waters. The Israeli reconnaissance aircraft were clearly marked with the Star of David. We therefore felt secure, seeing a flying boxcar and other smaller recon propeller aircraft taking good care of us. The attack began at 2 o'clock on a beautiful, bright, sunny day by French-made Mirage and Mr. A jets painted black with no markings. We had no clue who was attacking us, but assumed it was an Arab state. During the first pass-by, the jets took out all but one of our transmitting antennas, as well as every watertight door above the waterline. The air attack lasted about 25 minutes, killing and maiming our firefighters and any sailor who moved. Our radio man took one antenna offline, so it wasn't transmitting and wasn't hit. He ran a long wire to it, and the SOS went out to the 6th Fleet. It was even picked up as far away as Vietnam. Rockstar, Rockstar, under attack by an unknown jet aircraft. Help us, help us. Captain Tully, skipper of the USS Saratoga, sent jets to come to our aid. Before the jets hit the horizon, they were recalled by Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara. Captain Engen of the USS America and Tully relaunched more aircraft to aid us. They were also recalled, this time by Lyndon Baines Johnson himself. He said, quote, "I don't care about a few dead sailors. I will not embarrass my ally, Israel. Return to base immediately," end quote. How did he know who was attacking us if we did not? We were set up by our own government to let a foreign government have their way with us. The IDF even dropped napalm on the bridge of our ship.
We'll how pause long that one go? For a second.
We would soon find
just
out.
For a second. By the way, that's napalm. Okay, napalm. Candace, napalm. But ally. With friends like that, you don't need friggin' enemies. Go ahead.
Three motor torpedo boats headed our way, and one torpedo hit our starboard side. We saw the Star of David on the boats. They were there to sink us. The attack continued for another hour and a half. Attacking jet aircraft destroyed all but three of our life rafts, which we had put overboard. We were going to place our most seriously wounded in them so that they would have a chance at life, but the IDF would have none of that. They shot two of them out of the water and took one aboard their boats as a trophy of the kill. They continued shooting and killing my mates. They left and we thought that it was over, but it wasn't. IDF helicopters were sent with troops armed and ready to board our ship and finish us off. Then they just left. I guess the gig was up when the mighty IDF could not sink our defenseless ship. When it was all done, there were over 821 rocket and cannon holes and over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets riddling the ship. Napalm was burning us up, and a 40-by-40-foot torpedo hole was in her side, causing the ship to list badly to our starboard side. We then waited 17 hours for help. I guess they hoped that we would sink that night. Help was only 40 minutes away from us, but they left us out alone to die. When the USS America and the USS Davis arrived to help us, they took our wounded to care for them. Their wounds were so horrific, words cannot explain. Admiral Kidd boarded our ship a few days later, and the cover-up immediately began. We were ordered to never speak of the attack to anyone, not even with one another. Penalties would be fines, imprisonment, or worse, and we all knew that worse meant death. We have been treated like garbage for the last 57 years. Congress has been bought and paid for, with the exception, over the years, of a few brave lawmakers. Their names are Representatives Pete McCloskey, Paul Finley, and Jim Traficant. As the courageous Rep. Thomas Massey has noted, all Republican members of Congress except for him have AIPAC handlers. We can assume this is also true of nearly all Democrats. We are the most decorated ship in naval history for a single engagement. I believe God saved us that day to allow us to communicate the truth of this attack to leaders like you. We give all power to Jesus Christ. We are just his servants that horrible day and now. The USS Liberty survivors are the biggest whistleblowers this country has ever seen. We have been smeared as anti-Semitic, Jew haters, and Nazis. Our only sin is that we survived. We didn't kill anyone. Israel did all the murdering that day, and the U.S. government did all the covering up. I'm asking you to help us save America by telling all the facts about the slaughter of my mates. We are begging you to support us. Respectfully, Phil Turney, the president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association.
I will put that in the show notes. And I don't know if I misread anything in the chat. Like I said, you don't have to like Candace Owens. She is reading a letter. It would be like George W. Bush reading a letter. Well, if he could, he'd have to have a couple of run-throughs of my pet goat first, but it would be like Eric the Tech reading the letter. It's the information it provides. It has nothing to do with Candace Owens. It has everything to do with what happened to the USS Liberty at the hands of the nation state of Israel. But it goes deeper than that. Obviously, Lyndon Baines Johnson, working on behalf of then globalists, the warmongers, the neocons, the people who wanted to expand the various wars, who gave the orders. Take that and think about this Iranian mothership that's out there. Do you see where I'm headed with this? Oh, it's Iran. It's Iran. In fact, Iran just, you know, used one of the drones and kamikazed into Bedminster, causing all sorts of damage and releasing whatever. Would you believe that? Would you, people in the chat, would you believe that? People listening. Look, I'm tired of being lied to. And I know everyone out there is too. I've had it. And for bringing out the truth, don't tell me I'm anti-Semitic. Again, this is not all. As I said the other day, I'm calling out the globalists and the warmongers. It's in the political realm. It's not in the religious. It's in the political. I'm telling you, there's something really wrong with the drone story. None of it is good. If we don't get to the bottom, I mean, if we truly can't tell where these are coming from, if that is the truth, then we've got a huge problem. Huge problem. If no one knows anything in our government, we've got an incredibly huge problem. But if they know and are covering it up, if it's ours or not, we have an equally huge problem because we pay them to protect us. I don't want the illusion of protection. I don't want the restrictions of my freedom in the name of protection. I want the truth. And it's about time they told us the truth. And you got Biden in his rocking chair watching reruns of the Golden Girls, slobbering into his pudding cup, while Jill is out there in her dresses that look like, what, shower curtains? And people voted for that asshole? Not him, well, him as well as Harris. I think she's mainlining Smirnoff too much. But anyway, we need answers, and we need them now. Somebody I did see in the chat about Michael Yawn, about Syria and about all of these, about the drones and about Syria and such. Look, I get it. I'm friends with Michael Yawn. I've had conversations with him. I'm 100% behind him. I get it. I know that he's not fond of Donald Trump. I get that. Anne Vandersteel, I know her very well. I know, of course, Matt Bracken. So I'm very familiar with Michael Yawn. And he's got some good graphics on his X feed, formerly Twitter, of Syria, of generally of all wars. He has a post that was just several hours ago, simplifying Syria. And this is, he's in Argentina, which is why, obviously, you know, he certainly can come on right now. It'd be a problem with the time zones. But he said, every war or conflict I go to resembles a graphic attached. War is more complex. I don't know the source of the graphic. A war friend sent it. Wars are jungles. Even when they're in, let me just pull this up. Wars are jungles even when they are in deserts. Nobody runs a jungle. After a war is born or sprouts, the war is alive with its own life force. Many types of seeds all sprouting together in the latest jungle. Wars assemble their own life forces. Wars grow. Wars grow unpredictably. Hey, we're seeing that, aren't we? One arsonist can start a war when conditions are already ripe, or a farmer can plant and farm wars. But once the war is born, it quickly becomes a local, regional, or global melee. And it goes on. He does have an understanding given his background. So yes, to the person in the chat, yes, very good observation. He knows. Michael Yon knows. All right. But I'm telling you, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, my guess, my reasoned speculation, I suppose, one of two things is going to happen. All of a sudden, everything's going to stop and there won't be any answers. Or the second thing is, which I think is less likely, we'll know more in the coming days. And perhaps that will not be truthful, although we'll know more, or it will not be to our liking. Or to the population's liking. Meanwhile, interestingly, you know this, Ray, Christopher Ray, that putz from the FBI, he resigned ahead of Donald Trump firing him. Many on the left said, gee whiz, Ray should have made Trump fire him. Well, you know, when you are in a position like Ray is, and things start falling apart around you, you want to get out of that position because being in that position could enable investigators to pull you into an interview room or a congressional hearing and start asking some very uncomfortable questions. You do know, folks, that the OIG's report dropped today. You talk about the most underwhelming piece of crap, 88 pages worth of fluff and no information. Very little information. This is a Horowitz report. And to even insult you and I more than you would think possible. Horowitz said, yeah, I went through about 500,000 pages of documentation. And what? You get an 88-page report from 500,000 pages? You don't mention half of the important things. In fact, you can show. This is page PDF 2. Folks, in the show notes, you go to HagmanPI.com and you can pull all these up. You click on the title for today's show, and then you can pull all these up. You can download them, save them for yourself, watch the entire clip, whatever it might be. But they're all there, including this 88-page piece of garbage that I can't even believe that we as taxpayers funded. There it is. That's what it looks like. In fact, I'll post it as a post. Well, you can get it from the show notes, but here's really what it says. You ready? Did you catch that? It's about right.
Say that again.
I'll say it again. You ready? Listen. Did you hear it? That's what it says. Don't you feel more educated now? The report does say, in fairness, 26 FBI informants were at the Capitol on January 6th. 14 or 17 broke the law. This is from the Independent Sentinel. And I have that right here. Now, this is actually compliments of a Justice Department watchdog found that there were no undercover FBI employees at the U.S. Capitol during January 6, 2021 riot. Now, let me tell you something. There's a couple of things that we cannot move past ever. One is the election of 2020, and one is January 6th and 5th, 5th and 6th of 2021. I will add to that the origins and workings of the COVID shutdown and COVID origin, like I said, origins of COVID as well. Those are three things we cannot get past within that short time period. We must never, ever stop asking questions about that. But here's the rub on this. I can speak from experience. You have confidential human sources from the FBI. Now, usually, at least back in the 90s when I was active as an operational asset for the FBI and for the Department of Justice, yes, I was. People like me, we didn't get paid. Okay, we were working on behalf of a victim, shall we say, or a corporation that was victimized by another party. And there was criminality involved at the federal level. And that's where an operational asset comes in. Now, confidential human sources, oftentimes, and they're different than operational assets, CHSs, what they are people generally known to the feds, involved in whatever, and they need they need some loving so that they don't spend the time under the jail. Believe it or not, they get paid. Now, operational assets oftentimes, I shouldn't say never get paid. It really depends on the scenario. Again, I was working for a Fortune 100 company on some criminal elements. And so the FBI, look, they used me as an operational asset, but I was getting paid from the Fortune 100 company, which, by the way, I could have been more delivering pizzas. But having said that, there's a difference there between confidential human sources, operational assets, and most assuredly, employees for the DOJ or FBI, card-carrying employees. So you have to know what question to ask when you're asking questions of the FBI director, and you have to know the difference between the different positions, because you could have people peppered in the crowd that are working on behalf of the FBI. And I should add this. Although both operational assets and confidential human sources, and tell me if I'm making sense on this, they both have handlers. I had a handler. I had an assigned name. I had names assigned to me. I had a number assigned to me. I was given a phone number. The confidential human sources, pretty much the same thing.
The dog father.
Although I would like to be known for that for different reasons, mostly in involving dogs, but I digress. But you checked in with your handler. In other words, I never, just like Randy Taylor, we never liked the term handler. What am I, a dog? I mean, I'm not a dog. I like dogs, but I'm not a dog.
The fondler.
Yeah, that would never fly. At least in my book. Maybe theirs, not mine. But see, your handler or the person that you report to has to know what you're doing. An operational asset usually, for the most part, is approved at the Washington, D.C. headquarters level. a confidential human source are generally used by the 56 field offices throughout the country. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay. So, an operational asset has to be approved by Washington. And then that operational asset, like me, you are assigned a person at the field office level. Confidential human source never has to be approved by DC. That's all up to the SAC or ASAC of the field office. Does that make sense, everyone? Am I? Okay, thanks. So it would be, you would have to address the 56 SACs, the special agents in charge of the field office, each and every one, to identify how many confidential human sources you had on the ground in Washington, D.C. Washington necessarily would not necessarily know that. And if I know this, for crying out loud, Horowitz, but see, Justice Department watchdog found that there were no undercover FBI employees. Well, no crap. What? Hey, you work, you know, I guess in the FBI today, you work, if you go into the office at all, you work like 10 to 2 with an hour lunch, and then you clock out, and then you can go do. Okay, so obviously, I mean, holy, really? No FBI, no undercover FBI employees at the U.S. Capitol. No kidding. No kidding. But, well, no undercover agents were there at the rally. 26 confidential human sources or paid FBI informants were in Washington that day. And not one was authorized to break the law themselves or encourage others to do so. By the way, there's a lot of paperwork when you break the law. Okay, like an asset, if I'm not going to get into it, just trust me. No one wants to. Back then, no one wanted to do that. Like, you know, if it was drugs or something like that, or explosives, or stolen technology, you just don't want to do that. But I digress. So, the bottom line on this, it's a bullshit. The entire report, excuse my language, but it's necessary, is bullshit. Horowitz, what? He pissed off, he pissed away how many millions of dollars on the 88 pages of junk? And let me tell you something. If you think there were 26, just 26 CHS, No. That's short by a factor of 10 minimum. What a bunch of crap we're being fed by the Biden regime, which really isn't the Biden regime. It's the Obama regime, part 4 or part 3 or whatever it might be. Here's Julie Kelly. And wait a minute. Yeah, here's Julie Kelly. You got to check out her reaction, because she agrees with me. I agree with her, I should say. She's a great investigative reporter, but I like Julie Kelly a lot because she knows what she's talking about. Watch this from Julie Kelly. This is video 4. The J6 report is laughable. It's 3 minutes long. Here it is.
Hold on.
Okay, I'll hold on. Earth Tech's busy. I'll tell you what. Can you do this? All right. You okay?
I was mostly laughing. I mean, this is what we waited for, an 88-page report that's mostly filler about attorney general guidelines for the use of confidential human sources, filler about the J6 committee transcripts, which we've already had. So Michael Horowitz claimed he had 500,000 pages of documents, but we get 88 pages of mostly filler, a confession or disclosure about 26 FBI confidential human sources, a figure that defense attorneys are telling me is impossible to ascertain because during court proceedings, the government claimed there was no central database of FBI informants. So unless, as one defense attorney told me, unless Michael Horowitz and his team went to every FBI field office, all 56, and talked to every handling agent who has a source to discuss with them whether they had an informant in the Capitol or involved in January 6th at all, there's no way to get that figure. So Michael Horowitz slips in there, according to FBI documentation furnished to us by the FBI, this is what we conclude, 26 confidential human sources. So it's laughable on its face. There is no way that that figure is accurate. I'm sure Kash Patel, of the many things he is going to investigate, he will look into that as well. Now, but you'll see the chum that Michael Horowitz gave, you know, Fusion Ken and MSNBC and Nicole Wallace and everyone else, saying that there's no evidence that there were undercover employees there. Now, first of all, our complaint, and Darren will back this up, what we've been asking about is the use of confidential human sources, informants. Very few people have raised the issue of undercover employees. They're two different categories, and Michael Horowitz knows that. So he intentionally claims, you know, 26 informants, okay, no big deal, but there were no undercovers, no evidence of undercovers. Well, how does he know that, too? He doesn't. That's what FBI officials told him when they sat down for interviews with him and then referred to DOJ policy that prevented undercover agents from being involved in First Amendment activity. So this report, as you noted, and I agree with Mike Davis wholeheartedly, it is time for a new Inspector General of the DOJ. And Donald Trump is the only individual, I believe, who could fire Horowitz. I think Horowitz should be fired. And then we get somebody in here who is not going to play games, be a company guy like Horowitz, wait almost 4 years to give us this BS 88-page report that the media can then pick up and claim yet again another J6 conspiracy theories down the tubes.
So what do you think of that? It's kind of like what I said, I think. I don't know. Again, it's us not getting our money's worth from the man Horowitz that was had a job to do. He had one friggin' job. One job. And that's the find out. And he didn't find out. Like I told you, you're not going to have an undercover FBI agent in the crowd. But you will have confidential human sources and operational assets without a doubt. There is no, as she said, there's no Washington or the Home Office database of confidential human sources. Those are cultivated. If you, even if you watched any crime show, those are cultivated at the field office level. Washington does not need to know. Well, they may know the identity, but they're not going to have it in a database necessarily that's going to be searchable for any FOIA requests or even at the OIG level because of the protection of the identities of the individual. However, the wrong questions were addressed and the wrong information was provided, which makes this a bunch of hooey. Is that okay word to use, Huey?
Huey Lewis
in the news.
Huey Lewis. Hip to be square, bro.
Now that song's going to be stuck in my head all night. Folks, you see what's going on here? Okay. We are being hosed by every government institution in America. Anything that is under the control of Robinette Biden II, the hair sniffer, the kid toucher, the oatmeal for brains, drooling, walking corpse, and his handlers, we're getting screwed. Now, there's a couple more on this because Mike Davis has some information, Darren Beatty has information, and when you talk about J6, when you talk about the Capitol riot, there's one thing. By the way, just like the Butler investigation, there's one thing that you cannot, but if you understand one thing about Butler, it's kind of, you need to understand one thing about J6. That one thing that is going to break everything wide open is what, Chad? Is what, Chad? What's the one event, knowledge about one event that'll break everything wide open? What is it? Come on. You can do it. You got it. Abels. It's the pipe bombs. It is the pipe bombs at the DNC and the RNC and cackling McKneepads Harris never acknowledged the fact that she was ever in danger, though that was a pure inside job at J6.
Flibbity jibbity nonsense.
Joe, come here. Get him back on the phone. I'm telling you, you come here, I'll slap you so hard, I'll ring your bell.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man. I'm telling you, you break open the answer to the pipe bomb. The answer to what was Kamala McKneepads Harris. What was she doing at the DNC when she was supposed to be at the Capitol? Huh?
We did it. We did it, Joe.
You might want to cut that out. I'm sorry. What was she doing at the DNC? Let's play... let's hear from Mike Davis about the IG report, and then we'll move to Darren Beatty because Darren Beatty has the scoop on the pipe bombs. So go to cut five.
I mean, when they're talking about these confidential human sources within the FBI, these paid informants, it's the Capitol on January 6th, and then the FBI saying, oh, no, nothing to see here. We didn't control them. We didn't go tell them to go into the Capitol. Well, why weren't they prosecuted like the other January 6th defendants? And that's the ultimate tell.
Well, also the informants, correct me if I'm wrong, the confidential human informants, Ray lied to the panel. They clearly had, 26 informants there. Confidential human informants. Didn't they had to give them information about what was going to happen, right? If this thing was such a conspiracy to burn the Capitol and do everything like that, these 26 had to give them information, did they not?
Well, if you're paid by the FBI to gather information for the FBI, that would be a logical conclusion for 26 confidential paid human informants at the Capitol on January 6th, that they're paid to be there by the FBI. What did they acknowledge? Three were there at their direction, but said that those three didn't have permission to go into the Capitol. But why weren't those three prosecuted along with the others?
also they haven't been prosecuted. Now, DHS, they just, the way this was, this is the IG for the FBI. This doesn't include DHS, military intelligence, or others, does it, sir?
I don't think so. I think it was just the FBI. I mean, look, there's going to be a full investigation on this, and they know it. I think that's probably one of the big reasons Chris Wray decided it was a good day to announce his resignation. He knew this was coming out from the IG, and there has to be accountability. Like we've said all along, Steve, there are three categories of people who were there on January 6th. There were people who were there. It was a lawful protest permitted by the National Park Service that devolved into a riot. But there were three categories of people. The people there who were there peacefully and didn't trespass, didn't break the law. It doesn't matter whether you think they're crazy or wrong or right, whatever. They have an absolute First Amendment right to be there. And then the second category are people who trespassed, and they should be charged with trespass. And then the third category are people who are violent, and they should be treated more harshly. But if you have paid federal informants in there instigating the violence or encouraging people to trespass, as we've seen on videos, then it seems like there could be an entrapment defense that the FBI should have disclosed to these defendants.
100% correct. 100% correct. You, and again, from experience, I speak from a position of experience, not as a CHS, but as an operational asset. But this does apply to confidential human sources. You do not engage in any conduct on behalf of your handler, I guess, without fully being authorized to do so. You have a get out of jail free card. But at no time, or I shouldn't say no time, you have to have on a federal level, a federal prosecutor approval kind of thing, along with the FBI, if you are going to be touching cocaine, if you're going to be touching materials that were stolen, and knowingly stolen, or in engaging in a takedown operation, you better have your I's dotted, your T's crossed, because you also sign papers. If anything happens to you, you accidentally get your head blown off by an FBI agent, and the family can't sue. And moreover, you really can't talk about what you're doing. So, you know, they got you pretty much. Because if you're inside the building and that door comes crashing down, and you got a bunch of guys yelling with guns, get down. Let me tell you something. Okay. There's a couple of seconds there when your heart, at least in my case, your heart stops almost or takes a pause. And you think about, you know, wetting yourself because of all the, I mean, you know, it ain't pretty. Okay. And I've told him, look, I'll leave the door unlocked for you. You don't have to come crashing in like that. I left the friggin' door unlocked. But at that moment, when all hell breaks loose, you better have your affair, your instructions in order. Otherwise, you'll find yourself sitting next to, you know, Joe Baba down there in the gulag. All right. The fact that we didn't see that, that's an important tell. All right. Take a quick break here. It's Thursday, December 12, 2024. Don't waste power. Last time I'm going to mention that this season, folks, good Christmas gift. It's a little device. Here it is right here. It's good for a stocking stuffer, for a gift by itself. Hey, I use it myself. I plug it into an outlet and it saves me on my electrical bills. Recent reports reveal that U.S. electricity bills have set a 10-year record high this summer, all because power companies, well, they're paying their shareholders and you can't blame them. But look at the different, policies, energy policies by this regime. Well, I lower my energy bills with the help of that awesome device. I love it. Love the cost savings it gives me. Thanks to it, I can help cut down on my electricity costs, beat the beat the power companies by saving what I don't pay them. I keep more money in my pocket every month. Now, folks, go to don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. Just click the link in the description below to get the nation's leading way to lower energy bills, up to 66% off and free express shipping, plus several other bonuses with every order completely for free. I'm telling you, it's a great little device. That is don'twastepower.com. And get it before Christmas. I'm telling you right now. You'll thank me later. All right. So what you saw, and again, what I explained, is why the OIG report is deficient, why the wrong questions were being asked. And, you know, in a position, in a committee's position, or as the inspector general, you damn well better know the questions you need to ask. You can't fake that. He knew what questions to ask, so he avoided asking the questions. No, you're not going to have FBI employees read agents down there at the Capitol dressed in khakis and polo shirts. And, you know, no, you're not going to have that. You're going to have the plausible deniability of the confidential human sources that is, that's not contained in one silo at the Washington headquarters. All right. But moving along here, Darren Beatty, here's his reaction. These next two are going to be almost back to back. This is cut six. Darren Beatty does express his frustration with the J6 report, the OIG J6 report. Folks, I like Darren Beatty. Revolver.news, you can follow him there. And I'm telling you, he has the latest cutting edge information about these pipe bombers. And let me tell you, or about the pipe bomber, and let me tell you something. The fact that no one has been arrested screams that was a person either directly in the employ of the FBI, the Secret Service, or the Capitol Police, one of those three, or under the control of, or in the employ of one of those three organizations. This was purely an inside job. And when you look at Butler, the assassination attempt in Butler, and to a lesser extent in Florida, you will see the same things. Not about the shooter, but around things around the shooter in Butler. But in this case, no, this was a complete inside job. Here is Darren Beatty, cut six.
But it is outrageous. And you know, I entirely agree with Julie is that, you know, the big bait and switch, the big bit of obfuscation here, the lie that the fake news media specializes in is, oh, the conspiracy theorists are still wrong because none of the CHS is technically worked for the FBI. Because as we saw, the abundance of riches in the Whitmer case, not only did you have scumbag CHSs, like Steve Robeson, but you had actual card-carrying employees of the FBI, such as the guy who beat his wife on the way back from a swingers club and the guy moonlighting and leaking FBI investigations. And so you had an abundance of riches there, whereas they're saying nothing to see here, folks, because of the 26 people who are reporting to their handlers in the FBI in real time on January 6th. None of them were actually full-time employees, which is ridiculous when you dig in just beneath the surface of what the substance is, but it makes for a convenient headline for the media to continue to lie and obfuscate and deceive the public on this Fed surrection narrative that they've been shoving down our throats now for nearly 4 years.
You know, it's almost like you can see the template being used. The denials being used by the FBI, by the OIG report, by really the Department of Justice. They're the same denials we're getting about the drones. Very similar. Folks, understand that these people are lying their asses off. And they're lying to you. And also they're charging you through taxes to lie to you. And they're saying that if you think it's a conspiracy, then you're nuts. Folks, please. This is so important. Cash Patel has got to go in there. And he's got a clean house, like right now. If he's the one, of course, and with regard to this, he knows more about this than most people have forgotten. I believe he would be the man for the job. If he keeps his word and does the house cleaning, then God bless him. And I do believe that we will see people in jail because the people will demand it once they know the truth. But at the heart of this, at the heart of January 6th, if you want to break that sucker wide open, at least from, you've got the conspiracy over here involving Pelosi, involving others, denying the Muriel Bowser, Pelosi, really the FBI, the Capitol Police, a lot of these institutions, these polluted institutions working in concert to take President Trump down at different levels, of course. But you're seeing the same thing with the drone story, too. You got the DOD say, Coast Guard. Well, you know, they're fine, but we don't have any rules of engagement. It's just, you know. And you got Karine Jean-Pierre up there saying, hey, we're following this. Really? Yeah, Biden, the president, you know, he's well, he isn't no crap. Same playbook. This is cut 7. This is a smoking gun. This is a little bit longer. Please stay with me on this. This is pretty much with the OIG report dropping. J6, this is really the smoking gun. Video 7. Here it is.
What's most damning is what's not revealed. And of course, I would be the one to say there's no word about the pipe bomb, and that's the worst thing, but that's true. The pipe bomb is the smoking gun of the smoking gun. It's the scandal that, as I've reported, pretty definitively, I would say, implicates the highest levels of the Secret Service, going up to Kamala Harris, whose detail it was, who hasn't spoken about it at all, very suspiciously. The Capitol Police, which is on surveillance footage, behaving in such a manner as to indicate they knew about this in advance. So the Capitol Police, the ATF, who's a special agent in charge, who is now the head of dignitary protection at the Capitol Police, is the one person that we've named as a key figure instrumental in the cover-up. The pipe bomb exposes the whole thing. Because of the synchronicity with the Ray Epps orchestrated attack on the Capitol, it's the linchpin. It's what opens everything up going all the way to the very top. So anything that does not discuss the pipe bomb is not serious in my view. Now, people could say, oh, this is just about the FBI and you're mentioning other agencies. Okay, fair enough. Let's focus on the FBI. Stephen D'Antuono was the head of the Washington field office of the FBI. He was appointed by Christopher Wray. His previous employment was running the Detroit field office, where he oversaw the now disgraced and exposed entrapment operation known as the Whitmer kidnapping plot. That was him. Of all the agents in the country, Ray picks that guy to go to Washington and oversee the January 6th stuff, including the pipe bomb investigation. Now, that guy, after a lot of pressure from our reporting, resigns, goes to work for an accounting firm, KPMG. Maybe there's space there for Christopher Wray. Who knows? But in his retirement, he volunteered testimony to the Judiciary Committee, in which Thomas Massie heroically took our research and reporting and brought it to him, asking him some pointed questions. One of which was, did you ever use geofencing technology to identify the pipe bomber in the same way that the DOJ had used to identify a bunch of other people and indict him? Stephen D'Antuono's answer was, you know, we did try that, but the telecom company came back to us with data, and that data happened to be corrupted. Now, of course, there are multiple sources for this data, so even that was not a believable answer. But it recently came out that even that was a lie, that in fact the data is not corrupted, that it's sitting in the FBI, and it's just waiting for someone like, oh, I don't know, maybe Kash Patel to take the data that's in the FBI and use it to finally identify who the pipe bomber was. The FBI was caught in a lie here. Also, hey,
pause
it's
for a second.
Known
Eric
that
Stick,
the...
I want to, Eric Stick, I want to ask you a question. Do we or do we not have investigative geofencing capabilities? Yes or no?
Yes.
Chat, did you get that? Listeners, viewers, did you get that?
Hip to be square.
I'm telling you, it's going to be stuck in my mind all night. Excuse me. I got to stop those Cubans, I guess. All right. So, okay. What he just said, you've got vendors who are selling your information, your location information. It's just not one company. It's multiple companies. So if in the FBI, I can tell you this for certain. If you know Kevin Shipp, and others that we, but anyway, look, there's more than one, just like there's more than one database that we're able to tap into. There's more than one, geofencing vendor. And the fact that this was used as an excuse, the majority of the informed population where it was laughing at this. Now, why did I throw that personal part in there? Why? Well, you think others are not doing the geofencing analysis? Just asking. I wonder what they might be finding out about the bench by the DNC. Just asking. I wonder what they know. I wonder if, and listen carefully, I wonder if maybe, oh, I don't know, an investigator in the private sector, their company, might not have run a geofencing analysis going from January 5th through the 7th, maybe, of that area, and then widening that out to date forward from that and finding that, oh, that cell phone somewhere. Like in the Capitol. Like with the Capitol Police. What do you think? Hey, Christopher Ray, what do you think? You can go ahead and finish out. He's got some good stuff yet to go.
The FBI, by mid-2022, this is a long time ago, pretty early on, by mid-2022, the FBI had already deleted or was not in possession of the surveillance footage of the pipe bomb location on January 6th. Why is there no discussion of that? They claimed this was their most important and active investigation. It was dead as of mid-2022. So that, in conjunction with the fact that the guy running the investigation for the FBI was caught in a lie, I think to not have that in the Department of Justice's IG report on January 6th renders the whole exercise a complete farce, and it only serves to underscore that if we're doing anything serious, it's going to pull the thread on the pipe bomb. I have all of the last questions. We're in the end stage of this. I have all the things teed up, everything that the future FBI director will be in a position to do if he, that is Kash Patel, chooses to do so. It's right there on a silver platter. I acknowledge it's a very dangerous game. It's one of the most dangerous, second only to the assassination attempts on Trump. But it's critical to fully expose these criminals in the bureaucracies who set up all the American people by extension, by saying this was a domestic terror act, therefore we need to weaponize the national security bureaucracy in order to prevent another January 6th. It was all a lie.
Okay, you can cut
it
that.
Was all.
He mentioned it's very dangerous to do, perhaps second only to the assassination attempts. Gee, Eric the Tech, want to move?
Where are we going?
I'm telling you, the folks, look, I'm not
Bermuda, Bahamas. Come on, pretty mama.
There you go. I'm telling you, yes, when you see things, when you have things, yes. It's extremely dangerous when you are able to, and again, we're not alone in this, but when you are able to identify certain things that point directly to an inside job and you provide them to certain people, you better be sure, number one, who you're giving them to. And second of all, you better watch your six, because I'm telling you right now, those people, the people that are involved in this want to rule the world, or at least over the ashes of the world. Okay, I'm not trying to, how can I put this? I'm not trying to be boastful or whatever. All I'm saying is it amazes me that people think that they have this absolute grasp of the information and they know exactly what's, I mean, with, they're so dogmatic about certain things. About either case, any of the cases, about J6 or about the assassination attempts. Speaking of which, I don't know whether you saw this. Video 9. Check this out. Speaking of an assassination attempt, this is, did you hear about this? Video 9, go ahead.
Hold on.
All right. You're still going to Bermuda, right?
Two new revelations from the Trump Assassination Task Force. According to their report, the Secret Service agent who spotted Ryan Ruth in the bushes outside Trump's golf course was only 5 feet away when he opened fire and missed him. Not once, not twice, 6 times. He missed him 6 times from 5 feet. How does a trained agent who passed the firearms test miss a target away, 5 feet away? That's not all. The report says the Secret Service found out at 2:30 in the morning that Trump would be golfing later that day, but they didn't secure the course, allowing Ruth to camp out for 12 hours before anyone saw him. Meanwhile, Ruth appeared in federal court this morning and his legal team signaling they're going to go with the insanity defense. How convenient. Ruth's public defender said he has had multiple meetings with a mental health expert while in jail, and the witnesses who saw him before the arrest say he was hallucinating and delusional. Of course. Prosecutors also revealed that Ruth has been doing a lot more writing behind bars than initially reported. Ruth has written nearly 40 letters to news outlets in an attempt to persuade them that he's an honorable guy. But they were intercepted before they reached their targets. We also know that only
Show the Nashville Manifesto. Show the entirety of all of his writings from before the attempt.
I love and that dude's crop top.
His what top?
His crop top.
What is that? Nipply outside, right? All right. But look, you have a Secret Service agent on a protective deal. Number one, they decided to go golfing at 2:30, and the Secret Service was informed of the golfing outing at 2:30 a.m. and did nothing to clear the site. Gee, It almost sounds like an uncovered roof in Butler, Pennsylvania. By the way, somebody did say that President Trump wasn't on shot. One of the things I can say with absolute certainty, that was a bullet that struck his ear. 100%. I would stake my reputation. I would stake all of my vast holdings on that fact. Why? Because we investigated it. We talked to people that you would never think to talk to. He was shot. With all due respect. But look, we're dealing with something so sinister here. And tomorrow, I'm going to have on with me a very special guest from Save Them. We're going to be talking about certain things, but you're talking about the takedown of the deep state and the lifeblood of the deep state. I'm going to play you something here momentarily that's going to blow your mind. Before I do, let's go to Cut 8. Understand, and I threw this in here because I wanted to show you, this is perhaps one of the most visible things that you can see, aside from the opening, the border invasion and such. This is one of the most visible things that you can see that will prove to you the intent of the socialist, fascist, communist punks on the left. What they are doing prior to President Trump going in 35 days. This is one of the most sickening things I've seen with respect to their attempting to just blow up the Trump presidency before it begins. And you can thank every person who voted for Cackles McKneepads. You can thank every person who voted for Biden in 2020. You could thank every person who supports the leftist, the socialist agenda. I don't care if it's your uncle, your aunt, your whatever, your neighbor. They got to see this. This is what they think of your tax money, your safety, and your security. This is Cut 8. Oh, I guess there's no video or audio on that. Or is there? No, there's not. So those are pieces of the border wall. And what they're doing is they're auctioning off. They're transporting the border wall, the unfinished border wall that's been sitting there rusting for the last 4.5 years. And they're selling it to an auction, or they're going to have it auctioned off starting at $5 per panel. $5 per panel. They're moving like a half a mile a day of these panels out of the Mexican U.S.-Mexican border. You paid for that. That's what they think of you. But that, to me, I selected that because
I thought, get some of those panels.
Yeah, I'm sure it's yeah. If I'm sure that they're not going to go for five, but yeah, let's try it. We can resell it on the 21st. At a profit. No, I wouldn't do that to the country. I'd donate it back.
Oh, but for my yard.
Really? That would be that would be a neighborhood discussion. Come to think of it, maybe we should like get a truckload of those and we'll share them.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm telling you. Good idea. Eric the Tech, you're always thinking, man.
And put it up at our Kokomo Resort.
Either at Bermuda or the Bahamas, or come on, pretty mama, let's go. All right.
So I guess Kokomo, yes, is Kokomo? Actually not a place.
What is a state of mind?
I was corrected in chat.
Well, what is Kokomo?
I don't
Name
know.
Name of a dog?
There's a Kokomo, Indiana. Huh. That's it?
Well, no. Not special.
So we ain't moving there.
Apparently not. Indiana wants me. I won't go back there. It's before your time. Okay. Did you know that last year the Department of Justice charged two Navy sailors with spying for the Chinese Communist Party? Okay. I want to show you this. This is happening. You take a look at the drones, okay? We have to ask questions of why this is happening. And, you know, people are all pissed off about Pete Hegseth. They're saying, well, we can't have him come in. Oh, no, no, no. Baloney. We need him in. We need him in. You know why? Let me show you. Let me show you the Naval Recruiting Office in Alhambra, California. Let me show you this. And tell me how you feel having, you know, Millie and Austin and all the other traitors running things. Because if they're not dressed, if you don't have guys dressed in heels wearing nail polish and sporting purple hair and body piercings, then apparently, you know, you're not good enough. You can't be all that you can be. So let's go the other direction.
You don't like my nipple piercings?
No, you know, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Here's what I think you should do if you got body piercings. I think they should put you in an MRI and turn that sucker on. We'll see how many body piercings you have left.
What about ear piercings? Ear piercings.
Okay, ear piercings, you know, one. I mean, not for guys. I'm talking about girls.
Pick and choose.
Okay, you can pierce the ears. That's culturally appropriate if you want.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or are we just used to it?
Oh, man, don't make me leave here, come over there and start smacking you around, because I will.
Can't get past my wall. $40.
At auction. Check out what's going on in Alhambra. Alhambra. This is at the U.S. Naval Recruiting Office in Alhambra, California. Wait. That's not a video. That's a page. No, it is. It should be a video. Don't I have it on video? We'll go to page 6 and we'll see.
This is a David Lingdao. 你好,
is there English in this?
No, it's all Chinese. The entirety of that office is nothing but Chinese.
Is that the only point you wanted to make?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, because we have radio listeners. They'll have no clue what's going on.
I don't have a clue what's going on either. So, all right. But say, okay, so you got people, oh, well, Pete Hegseth, we can't have him, you know, because whatever. And then you got this. What's your druthers? And two, last year, the Department of Justice charged two Navy, U.S. Navy sailors with spying for the CCP. And you got our border wall being sold off. And you got the Secret Service has compromised at the highest levels. Two more. We're going to be, I just want to show these, and then, because we're going to be talking about these tomorrow night. Video 10, it's 43 seconds. Mayor Eric Adams, listen carefully. I'm not going to say what he says. I want you to listen to what he says. This is Biden. This is Mayorkas. This is Harris. These are all the usual suspects. I want you to hear this from his own leftist mouth. And then before you go to bed tonight, I want you to think about what he just said. Cut 10.
I've learned also from sitting down with him and a representative from the Biden administration that was there in the meeting as well. We have 500,000 children who have sponsors in this country that we can't find. We can't find them. We don't know if they're doing child labor. We don't know if they're doing sex crimes. Or we don't know if they've been exploited. 500,000 children. There's a level of hypocrisy that everyone in the states, they want to protect everyone, but innocent individuals who are victims of crimes and children. I want to support and protect children and innocent people that are victims of crime. And those who don't understand that, it's not up to me to try to convince them.
Folks, did you hear what he said? Eric Tech, were you able to understand that? I mean, audibly?
Yes.
So those who weren't paying attention, 500,000 missing children. A half, not 300, 500,000 missing children. The U.S., and you can talk to Michael Young about this. You can talk to Ben Bergwam and Oscar Ramirez. The U.S. is the biggest trafficker, human sex, child sex trafficking operation on the planet. 500,000. By the way, In the Dark of Night, my book, you can order at HagmanPI.com or Eric Thicke, I don't know.
Hagman Store.
HagmanStore.
.com.
.com. All right. 500,000, that's a half a million. And somebody in the chat said, yeah, more like a million. Yes, yes, yes. 500,000, they'll admit to. The lifeblood of the children is a currency for the globalists. Folks, understand this. That's what this is all about. And then, you know, I got a raft of crap.
But I thought they weren't separating the children from the families.
Well, let me explain. We're not. They're not. No. That's conspiracy talk. Well, let me show you some more conspiracy talk. I remember the Rolling Stone interview that I cut short. What a mistake that was. Eric Tech says, don't do it. Everyone says, don't do it. I said, no, not about that. A couple of less. Never mind. I'm not allowed to say things I can't say.
Sad.
This next part is going to be sad.
You can say whatever you want.
Not without penalty. I can't. Okay.
Not here.
Not here. This is Cut 11. Listen carefully to this and be ready. I'm pretty sure you did not hear this anywhere yet. Cut 11.
The story is breaking from overnight. We have disturbing new details on a multi-state investigation involving what police call demonic rituals and cannibalism.
The case is centered in Morgan County. That is where Elena Sparenberg is charged with conspiracy to human trafficking and solicitation to murder. Our team found out about her arrest yesterday. Overnight, West Liberty Police explained in detail what she and an inmate are accused of doing. Mariah Congito is at the alert desk. Mariah, that information pretty hard to read.
Yeah, definitely is hard to read. It's very disturbing. It dates back to September when the West Liberty Police Department got a criminal investigation referral from Kentucky Department of Corrections internal affairs investigators regarding intercepted inmate and visitor correspondence. That visitor, Elena Sparenberg. Sparenberg, a former youth counselor out of Illinois, was identified as that visitor who is talking with the Department of Corrections inmate. Now, he is from Harlan County and has been in jail since 2021 on several charges, including murder. During the course of the investigation, police executed a search warrant at Sparenberg's home in Illinois. They seized electronic devices. Police say the correspondence between Sparenberg and the inmate included images, videos, electronic messages, letters, and calls. Their conversations referenced minors and adults regarding sexual abuse, rape, kidnapping, murder, mutilation, torture, satanic rituals, cannibalism, human trafficking, abuse of corpse, collecting human remains for sexual purposes, and more. Police say images depicted minors from a sporting organization. Coaches and parents have been notified, as well as others who police say were possibly in danger as future victims. Sparenberg was extradited from Illinois to Kentucky this week on a Morgan County warrant. And as for the inmate, we are still working to learn his name. Police haven't released it yet. Kristen?
All right, Mariah, still.
You know what, Eric Thick? I'm really surprised they mentioned satanic ritual abuse and cannibalism, because usually the DAs and everything.
Satanic
just,
panic.
Yeah. Remember that from the 80s? Oh, the satanic ritual abuse. That's folklore. That doesn't exist. Hey, Criminal Minds, you know, they went out and, now, they made sure they put that in one episode, that it was all just a bunch of bullcrap. It never exists. So 500,000, half a million missing children. And then now this case where finally someone had the balls to say, you know what? Yeah, we got a problem here. We got killing of children, torturing of children. We have satanic ritual abuse, which is child sacrifice in the worst possible way. The consumption of their blood for satanic reasons. I could walk you through all of this, and you know, you've got to know this, because this is what gives them in their mind, in their spirit, belief system, the power. This is what backs the New World Order. This is what backs the WEF and organizations like that, and the Clintons, in my opinion, and the people in power, and the Huma Abedins, again, in my opinion. This is what powers them. And the $65,000 worth of hot dogs by Barry Satoro, it's all a conspiracy, right? Right? Tell me it is.
Flippity-jibbity nonsense.
Yeah, that's what it is, Joe, because I don't really want to have to get off my couch. You know, Russ Dizer was just a tremendous man, and the stuff that he saw, that he grew out, the things that we have here, that you'll see one time at some point. All right. I want to show this to you. Remember Dick Morris? I don't know why. Toe sucker.
Dick Morris.
I want to show you this. Folks, you see this. Where the heck did I put it here? Yeah. It's video 15. I have a lot of unplayed videos, folks. You can check HagmanPI.com and download them all. I guess I overdid it on show prep. I got to stop snorting purple sticks off the back of my vehicle. But Here's Dick Morris talking about the Biden crime family with Mike Huckabee.
Dick Morris.
Dick Morris. Let me suck some of them toes while I'm talking to Clinton. There you go.
People say, oh, there's no evidence. Joe Biden, there's no evidence that he's done anything wrong. Yeah, what would you say to that?
I would say to them, I'd start with the fact that when he left the vice presidency, he was hired by the University of Pennsylvania at a salary of $1 million a year to preside over the Biden Institute for Global Engagement. Never taught a class, never showed up on campus. And then it turned out that that program was funded with $54 million of anonymous donations from China.
From China?
So, and he hired among his staff the future Secretary of State, Blinken, and nine other people on the payroll of that institute who are now on the national security team. So China funded a farm team, essentially, for the Biden administration. And the president of the United States was on the payroll of China for 4 years and made several million dollars from it. When he left the Senate, his net worth was $29,000, which means he was either honest or dumb. Now, when he entered the presidency, his net worth was over $10 million. And all of that came from bribery.
Hey, Dick. Got any toes you want to suck?
Dick Morris.
You sound like a sportscaster. I don't know. But
the 50,
here's
the 40, the 30. Dick Morris scores.
Yeah, he scored more than once. What's the bottom line here? We're not going to quit until we get answers. And yes, look, there are things I can say, things I cannot say. I could say them, but then I would probably be involved in civil litigation for the rest of my life and probably have to pay out a lot of money. And you don't want that. I don't want that. But it's nothing really. It's really nothing that it doesn't matter. I mean, that does not matter. You're gonna see things from us that you have never seen before when it's time. And I say when it's time is because you can't jeopardize true investigations. Okay, you just can't do that. So you'll see it. You'll see it all. Everything I got, everything we got, you'll see it all. But the fact is, you got spy drones that no one is claiming. Have some balls, folks. I've got no problem if somebody takes a 308 or, you know, whatever and takes one down, if that's possible, or even a shotgun, if that's possible, depending on proximity and whatever. Look, I don't care, because you want to find out who owns them? Just do that. Just do that. You'll find out real quick. I'm not encouraging it. I'm not FBI. I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying that's how you'll find out. Somebody knows. Just like somebody knows how many people were at the J6. How many feds were in the J6 crowd? It was not 26. Don't insult me like that. Just like the pipe bomb person who planted the pipe bomb at the DNC and near the RNC on the 6th of January. We need answers to these questions. And we're going to damn well get them. And I'll tell you something. If Kash Patel lets us down, I don't think he will. But we'll show you what we got. We need answers to the lapses in Butler. We need answers to a lot of things in Butler. There's two things I'm sure about. Because I was there, not on the day, but to investigate. I'm sure person on the roof obviously dead, but the identity. And I'm sure that a bullet from that gun hit President Trump's ear.